Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Bet you can't guess what the homily's about today, can you? One more week, and we begin the use of our new translation here at Mass. We've talked about many things, and we're ready to complete our journey through the liturgy, through the parts of the Mass. We talk first and foremost, and probably most importantly, about the need to prepare, to be here on time, and to have a heart disposed to worship. We talked about the dialogues, the penitential rite, and the glory of the creed. We talked about the preface dialogue, the Sanctus, and the words of institution last week. And you can find all of these homilies on our website if you need to catch up. This week, we're going to finish by talking about three things. The mystery of faith, or what we still call to this weekend, the memorial acclamation, the invitation to communion right before you come up for communion, and the dismissal, all of which have had changes. If you pull out those cards in your pew that have the changes in them, and if you would turn to the very back of the card, you'll see it says Mystery of Faith, about halfway down on the left side. And you'll notice the priest says the mystery of faith. He doesn't say, let us proclaim the mystery of faith. It's much more declarative. It's not trying to solicit a response, but declaring a mystery. John Paul II, blessed John Paul II, in reflecting on these specific words in the Mass, was writing about the idea that this is a mysterious gift that you've received in the Eucharist. We don't fully understand it. And he said that it should fill us with, quote, profound amazement and gratitude, end quote. That when you look upon the Eucharist, when we've just had those elements changed here at Mass, that we are filled with amazement at what God has done. And then, of course, is the response of the people. And let's practice these. The priest will say, the mystery of faith, and you will say,
we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
The priest will say, the mystery of faith, and you might say,
when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord.
Wow, really lost you on that second one. Remember, there's three choices there, and usually the choir is the one who leads it, and so they could pick any three of these. Let's try that second one again. The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
And the last one, the mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection, you have been saved.
Options A and B come directly from 1 Corinthians 11:26, which says, quote, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes, end quote. And the option C, especially this title of Christ as Savior, comes from John 4:42. When this woman that Jesus had met at the well tells her fellow Samaritans, quote, we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. What you might notice is there's actually one of the responses that is absent. We used to have four of these, what we call memorial acclamations. And the first one, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, is gone. It's just gone. Why? Well, not because there's anything per se wrong with it. It's a very wonderful statement of faith that Christ has died and risen and will come again. But notice that the other three all address Jesus personally. The first one, we proclaim your death and profess your resurrection until you come again. The second one, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. And the last one, save us, Savior. We're talking to Jesus. It is a prayer. We're praying to a person. Whereas the former memorial acclamation, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, was not addressed to anybody. So it's more fitting that this be a prayer that you address to Jesus. It also reflects the fact, guys, that faith is a mystery. You know, one of the things I hear in confession a lot is people who say, "Father, I doubt my faith." I don't think it's a sin to doubt your faith. I think it's a sin to not get answers. That's where the sin is. In fact, I think it is God Himself who allows you to doubt your faith, to start wondering, why do we do that thing at Mass? Or why do we believe this as Catholics? The crime is when we don't pursue the answer. Remember, God is infinite and all-powerful, and it's like trying to pour the contents of the Pacific Ocean into a shot glass, okay? It's so overwhelming and so all-consuming, and we don't understand it all. Faith is a mystery. The second change that you'll notice is that we're talking about today is that the invitation to Holy Communion. This is on your card under Communion. The priest will say, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold Him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." And you will respond,
"Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Say the word and my soul will be healed."
Now, you're probably thinking that sounds pretty weird. But first of all, the priest part comes from John 1:29, where John the Baptist says this, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A declaration of who's present there. You see, they were eagerly awaiting the Messiah. They wanted somebody to come and rescue them from their sins and from their situation. Is that your disposition when you come to communion? And remember that this Eucharist is what we call anamnesis. That is a representation of what happened on that hill at Calvary, that we journey through time and space to be with John and Mary standing there at the foot of the cross, standing there with that centurion that would pierce his side, and we look upon him. When I hold up that host and sometimes that chalice with it, you look upon him just like Mary and John as they're standing there at the foot of the cross. Your part, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof," sounds a little bit different. What's this word "roof" doing in a prayer? Well, it comes straight from Matthew 8:8, in which a faith-filled centurion begs Jesus to come and to heal his servant. He says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed." You know what's unique about this story? Jesus did a lot of healings. But what Jesus says right after this in Matthew 8 is that nowhere else has he found faith like this centurion. And remember, this centurion's not a Jew. It's kind of as if some, like a Buddhist, came in here into the church, came up to me and said something, and I said, "Man, I haven't seen faith like yours from any of my Catholic parishioners." That's the effect of what Jesus is saying here. And what makes Jesus say that? What makes the faith of that centurion unique? Well, probably number one, because it came unexpectedly. But I think number two, and first and foremost, because it came out of humility. The centurion saying, "Lord, I'm not even worthy to have you in my house. Just say it from here and let the servant get better." You see, this guy comes before Jesus with great humility, and that's what it means to have great faith. This word "roof" may seem a little odd to you as well. I think first and foremost, you know, I remember in high school a lot of times they would lead guided meditations, and one of the things they would ask you to consider to meditate about is, what if Jesus came to your home? What if Jesus came to your home? I know a lot of you parents are probably thinking, oh my gosh, my house is dirty. I don't think he's too concerned about that. He's going to be looking at the state of your soul. And St. Paul is the one who says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. You see, a home is not just a place, but a place where we reside and where our souls reside inside of our bodies. Just as Jesus can enter into our homes, he can also enter into your lives and into your souls. And just as you would clean your house and pretty things up and probably fix a nice meal for him, should we not also prepare our souls? Lastly, the last part of Mass that you'll notice that is changing is the dismissal. And guys, the dismissals that we currently use, the one that I use today, I'll probably say something like, the Mass is ended, go in peace, and you'll say, thanks be to God. Good try, guys. And those are all changing, every last one of them. Why? Because they were never translated well to begin with, to be honest. And these are the four dismissals that you'll hear. Go forth, the Mass is ended. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord, reflecting our need to evangelize. The third one, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, by the way you live. And then the last one, go in peace. Some of the other dismissals that we've recently gotten rid of are these. The first one, go ahead, put on your coat, grab your purse and keys, and get ready to get out of here. Another one that we've gotten rid of, go ahead. If you don't get out to that parking lot soon, you may actually have to practice some patience. And the last one that we're getting rid of is this. Go. Because we're not doing anything here important anyway. Brothers and sisters, people ask me routinely, Father, when is Mass over? Or they'll say, Father, you said Mass is over, go in peace. I'm just leaving when you told me to. If you're asking that question, if you're making that little split-haired distinction, your heart's in the wrong place. Mass is traditionally over for you after you have knelt down after the closing hymn and given thanks to God. That is the tradition of the Catholic Church. And those of you who are older remember that. It is only our culture that has decided that we need to get out of here as quick as possible. Sometimes you guys look like rats fleeing a sinking ship. This ship's been around for 2,000 years. It's not sinking. Guys, stay. Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago or told me, they said, Father, I'm glad you don't do that thing they do over at St. Francis of Assisi where they make you kneel down until the candles are extinguished. Why should they force us to stay? Why do you want to leave? Brothers and sisters, if we do not start changing that habit, if you do not start changing that habit on your own, we will have to institute some form of giving thanks as a community to God. Because guys, that's the appropriate thing to do. To not rush out of here, but to stay with Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to understand the Mass, especially in our culture and our times. But faith is a mystery. But guys, in this mystery, you're able to look upon God. You are able to look upon God, to catch a glimpse of Him. You're able to encounter Jesus like that centurion. And you're invited to humble yourself before Him. You're able to stand at the foot of the cross like John and Mary, and to look upon this man who stayed on that cross to the very end for you. Stay to the end. Jesus did.